Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomis Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 8 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches. We noted in our previous shiur that we were going to begin a rather long sugya that started at the bottom, the end, the last third of Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis, and this discussion would last for quite a while. It would last until Daf Yud Ches Omid Beis. So we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion. We should point out now, maybe it's a little premature, but even though this is a Daf Yomi context, we might end up spilling over as a result of the length of an upcoming sugya that follows the next Mishnah well onto Daf Yud Tes Omid Aleph. So we will see that when we get there, but at this point in time, it seems that this shiur will extend a bit longer than the standard Daf Yomi. By way of very brief recap, even though we're not going to be able to successfully deal with all the details that we dealt with in our last shiur, but we saw a machlokis. If you have Yud Zayin Omid Beis in front of you, we saw machlokis amoroim between Rav Huna, who was in a house, and Rav Yehuda, who was likewise in a house marking. The subject they were dealing with in specific terms was the case of a Shomeris Yavam Shemesa. In other words, you had two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died leaving a widow, leaving no children, and Shimon was waiting to marry her. That's the Shomeris Yavam. Is Shimon allowed to marry her mother? So both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda presented a situation where the Shomeris Yavam, the widow herself, died. In the event that the Shomeris Yavam died, Rav Huna says he is allowed to marry her mother. According to Rav Yehuda, he is not allowed to marry her mother. The question that came up as a result of that sugya was, do we say that there is a zika? Zika is a bond, and we explained that in some length in our previous shiur. We were also prayful at the time that we could simply use the word zika henceforth without resorting to constantly translating the term, because zika is in effect a halachic concept. It's we'll call it a quasi-matrimonial bond. Now, if you say that there is zika, so then what Rav Yehuda says would appear to make most sense, that the Shomeris Yavam Shemesa, even though she was not, the widow of Reuven was not really Shimon's wife, he didn't marry her, but there was a marital bond formed, and thereby her relative, specifically her mother, is forbidden, because her mother becomes to you like a mother-in-law. Just like when one's wife dies, so one's mother-in-law is not permitted. So too in this case. Rav Huna indicated otherwise, that the Shomeris Yavam Shemesa, he is allowed to marry his mother. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, and this is the point that we're picking up with, we have a crown marking. You notice that's the eighth line from the top of Daf Yud Ches, and on the side we have a mivneh, a structural note, where the crown is featured, and we indicate in our note, Maksha al Hodasovar Rav Yehuda Diyesh Zika. These are questions in an attempt to challenge Rav Yehuda's point of view that there is Zika. So through these questions, we're going to see initially that there is no Zika. Now, that having been said, we turn to the Gemara text. Note that this is a long question. Mosiv Rav Huna Bar Chia. Rav Huna quotes a Tanaic source. In fact, it is our Mishnah, regarding the topic of Eshes Ochiv Shelohoyo Behoilomo. And that is an institution unto itself. In fact, we'll be spending a lot of time, Yitz Hashem, on that sugya today. But you have a case of three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuven dies before Levi is born. That's the general setup of the case of Eshes Ochiv Shelo Belomo. But I'm, of course, relying, as we indicated already since the beginning of this Masechta, that there are many topics that are continuum topics, and it would be too time consuming to constantly review the issues. So for first time listeners, by all means try to take in all that which preceded this. So Rav Huna asks, also ba maimer umes. In our setup of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, after Reuven died, Shimon then did maimer. He offered money to the Yavama, to Shimon's widow. Money in a Yibum context is what we would call a rabbinic gesture, whereby a type of connection is made by offering money to her. Shimon offered her money, umes, and then Shimon died. The question right now is regarding Levi, who was again born after Reuven died, but now Shimon died. Shimon had done maimer with the widow of Reuven. We should also point out that Shimon had his own wife. She had his own wife. We can call her we'll just refer to her as Shimon's wife, or Eshes Shimon. Shimon was in the same time as Levi. In other words, after Reuven died, Levi was born. So Shimon's own wife to Levi, having died without children either, is a woman that should be eligible for Yibum. The problem is, what about the connection between Shimon and Reuven's wife? If that connection is very solid, so Reuven's wife is off limits to Levi. She is Eshes Ochiv Shelo Hoya Ba'olamo. Shimon did maimer with Reuven's wife. The maimer issue right now, what happens as a result? So the Mishnah says, Shnia choyletzes velo misyabemes. Shnia is Shimon's own wife, does chalitza, no yibum. Taima de Ovad Bo Maimer. Why is Shnia, the wife of Shimon, off limits to Levi? Because Shimon did an action of Maimer. A Maimer bond was created. And that makes it such that the wife of Reuven is a type of co-wife with Eshes Shimon. And in co-wife status, as we saw at the beginning of the Masechta, she's called a Tzoras Erva. Shimon's wife is a Tzora, a co-wife of a forbidden woman. Reuven's widow is forbidden to Levi. So the only reason, though, that Levi cannot do Yibum with the wife of Shimon is because Shimon did an action. He offered money to the widow of Reuven. Ha'lo avad bo maimer, the Gemara goes on to say, had Shimon done nothing with her, Shnia, the wife of Shimon, nami yevumi miyabmo, Levi could have actually married her. So that even though when Reuven died, his widow was on deck to marry Shimon. She was waiting to marry Shimon. But as long as Shimon didn't do anything, she is not considered attached to Shimon whatsoever. And if that's the case, Shimon's widow can marry Levi in a standard act of Yibum. Ve'i amris yesh zika, if you are to insist that there is a bond upon the death of Reuven, there is a bond formed with Reuven's wife and Shimon, havyolo, the wife of Shimon would be a tsaras eishes achiv shelo hoya bolomo bezika. She would be considered a co-wife through zika to Shimon's own wife. Even without the mimer that Shimon had done with the widow of Reuven. So we see from the inference drawn from our Mishnah, this is a diuk, this is a standard form of Gemara learning. That's why, by the way, three lines up, we squiggle underline the word ha, second word from the end of the line. That's our emphasis. The inference, had no mimer been done, so then Levi could have married Shimon's widow, indicating no zika. If there had been zika, so then even without the mimer, Levi would not have been able to marry Shimon's wife, Shimon's widow. Omar Rabbah. Rabbah responds, Hu Hadin. Now this squiggle on Hu Hadin is in contrast to the squiggle underline Ha. In other words, not like we said in our inference, but rather Hu Hadin, the Afagav de Lo Ovad Bo Maimer, Shnia Mechlitz Cholitz Miyuvi Lo Miyavma. And notice the double underlining. Again, these are contrast markings. That even without the Maimer done by Shimon, Shnia is the Eshes Shimon, the widow of Shimon, Michlitz Chalsa. She would have only been able to do Chalitza, or she would have needed to do Chalitza, Yavumi lo miyavma, but no Yibum. Now, the reason for the Chalitza is because on a Torah level, the Maimer really is a zero. On a Torah level, Shimon's wife, Shimon's widow is to do Yibum with Levi, so we have to release her. So from the Torah standpoint, Chalitza is necessary, but Yibum is not to be done. However, the Gemara, and that's what the Gemara is saying right now, that even without the Maimer, Shimon's wife could not have married Levi because of the Zika. And again, the Zika is, you can see, is a rabbinic, we're dealing here with a rabbinic consideration of freeing her. That's why the Chalitz is necessary. But Yibum would not have been allowed because of this phenomenon known as Zika. The Hadikotoni Maimer, and that which the Mishnah said Maimer was done, it wasn't teaching us that in order for us to make the inference we did before, but rather La Fuki mi Beis Shammai, to the exclusion of an approach taken by Beis Shammai later in the Masechta, the Amri Maimer Kine Kinyan Gomor. According to Beis Shammai, Maimer makes a full fledged marital bond. And if that opinion would have been accepted, so then the wife of Shimon would have not needed to do Chalitza either, because she would have been a full-fledged Tsaras Erva, full-fledged co-wife, and the only way to release a woman after she's a full-fledged wife would be through a get, if that would have been chosen. But according to Beis Shammai, Maimer would have completed the marital bond on a total level, and even Chalitza would not have been necessary. Komash Malon, so that's what our Mishnah is telling us, that after Maimer is done, it doesn't create a full-fledged bond, as Beis Shammai would have indicated, but a quasi-bond. On the other side of the wall, so to speak, she is still not fully married. The widow of Reuven is not fully married to Shimon, and Shimon's wife was there for Yibum purposes. Hence, Chalitza is necessary. So that's what our Mishnah teaches, that Maimer does not create a full bond. So at this point in the Gemara, we attempted to challenge the position of Yesh Zika. We tried to show you that there is no Zika, and the Gemara responded, no, that really there is Zika, and the teaching of the Maimer was for this tangential purpose. Esvei Abaye. We have a long question. You can see that's noted. And we have a Tanaic source, which you can also see. And there's a chart that accompanies, a diagram that accompanies this this particular Tanaic source. So with one finger on the diagram and one finger on and one finger in the Gemara, we continue. Needless to say, if you notice, we have a volcano shape. This helps you spot quickly what the point of the question is. So if you skip the Tanaic source, you see the volcano shape where the Gemara is saying, if you were to say there is Zika, indicating to us that it seems there is no Zika. So what's the story? We continue in the Gemara text. Shnei achim v'oylem echad. There were two brothers that lived together. It's Reuven and Shimon. Umeis echad mehen below Vlad. And then stage one, you can see we indicate that with our numbers, as we've been doing so many times throughout the Masichta. Reuven dies, leaving no children. And he leaves a widow. We call her Ashes, or Rashes, Ashes Reuven. The Omad Hasheni Hazeh Lasois Maimer Viavimto Velo Hispik Lasois Bo Maimer. And Shimon, and here we're going to translate, the Gemara is going to deal with this sukya, with this text later on. But for right now, it says that Shimon intended to do Maimer, but never actually did so. Ad Shinolad Lo Ach, and until Levi was born. So after Reuven died, the next event that took place was the birth of Levi. That's why you can see on the chart that's stage 2. Umeis, 3. That's stage 3. Shimon dies. So at this point, you have two widows, right? Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife. You can rest assured that Reuven's wife is off limits to Levi. She's a pure case of Ashes Ochav Shalaha Balamo. Harishaina Yoitse Mishum Ashes Ochav Shalaha Balamo. The first one, that's Reuven's wife, is free to marry whomever she wants. She was married to a brother of Levi, which never lived at the same time as Levi. Ushnia, Shimon's widow, Oichoy Letzis Omis Yabemis. Shimon's widow can do whatever she wants, either chalitza or yibum. In other words, when we say whatever she wants, means both options are open, the yibum option and the chalitza option. The Iyamris Yesh Zika, if that were so, that a bond is created, simply with the death of a brother, a Zika is formed. That means a Zika between Shimon. Obviously, though Zika could have been formed with Levi, he wasn't born yet. But with Shimon, a bond could have been formed. So if that bond existed, this quasi-marital bond, how would you explain, or how would you view Shimon's wife vis-a-vis Reuven's widow? If you would say a bond was formed, Havyalah, Shimon's wife is then a tsoras, a co-wife of an Ashes Ochav Shelo Hoya Bolomo Bezika. And how could the source say that Yibum could have been done with Shimon's wife? So this is a question on the opinion that says Yesh Zika. We see from here, Ein Zika. The Gemara continues. We have a marking scheme, which is explained on side under the Mivne heading. It's a triangle whose position keeps alternating, with the point facing up, that represents a response, a tshuva, and the inverted shape indicates a challenge, a question. The Gemara answers, Ha Amani, Rebbe Meir Hi, the Omar Ein Zika. This is a Tanaic opinion that will say that the Amoira, Rav Yehuda, doesn't reckon with. It's an individual opinion. This Tanaic opinion is the opinion of Rebbe Meir that says Ein Zika. The Amoira, Rav Yehuda, that we saw in Yud Zayin Amud Beis, who said what he did, holding Yesh Zika, is not bound by this individual opinion. So at this point, we then have the necessary response to the challenge posed to the Amora Rav Yehuda. As we go along in the Gemara, we're going to debate this answer. We're going to go back and forth. But at the same time, you might want to keep in the back of your minds, are we going to be reopening the challenge to the Amora Rav Yehuda? So for right now, we're saying this is Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zika. The Gemara asks, Omi Svira Leila Rabbi Meir Ein Zika? Does Rabbi Meir really hold that opinion? The Hot Tanan. We have a Tanaic source with a chart that accompanies it. So if you want, you keep your finger on one side, the chart of Dalet Achim, four brothers. Arba Achim. Shnei Mehem Nesuim Shtei Achoyos. We see Reuven and Shimon are married to Leah and Rachel. The names Leah and Rachel, when we use them, we will assume that they are sisters. So Reuven and Shimon are two brothers married to two sisters. Umeisu and Nesuim Achoyos. The brothers married to the sisters die, and that's indicated through with the little slash mark through the names on our chart. Reuven and Shimon die, leaving two widows. Hare elu chotzos velo misyavmos. Chalitza is to be done, no yibum. V'yisalkadaituch sova Rabbi Meir ein zika, if it were so that there is no bond. So when Levi and Yehuda are looking at these two women, these are two widows coming from two separate households. One is from Reuven's household, one's from Reuven's he's called a bias, a house, and we use the term household, and Shimon from his house is a separate widow. Hani, the two women, Mitre Boti Koasin, are coming from two separate houses. And this Gemara is a reference to a Xeris HaKosuv that says you cannot do Yibum with two women that come from the same house. That means if a brother dies leaving two wives, Yibum is done only with one of them, not with two of them. That's two women from one house. But two women coming from two separate houses, Hai Liabem Chada Vai Liabem Chada. Levi can marry one of them and Yehuda can marry the other. So now, what do we see from here? We see from this Tanaic source, which is according to Rabbi Meir, that there must be a bond. Because if there were no bond, Yibum would have been an option. The Gemara responds, Li'oilom Ein Zika. And, well then, if that's the case, why does it say Lo Misyabamois? For a new reason, a separate consideration. Mishum de Kosovar Osir Levatel Mitzvahs Yivmin. The Dilma, and the Gemara goes on, we'll go over these words again, but it's a rabbinic consideration that says that you are not allowed to create a situation, or not allowed to enter a situation where you will be voiding the mitzvah of Yibum. Now the mitzvah of Yibum, when we speak about the mitzvah of Yibum, that includes chalitza. In other words, doing something, either marrying her or participating in the shoe removal ceremony. But creating a situation that neither one can be done, that's called bittul mitzvahs Yivmin. So how do you have over here a situation of bittul mitzvahs Yivmin? How do you have a situation that if we would have allowed Yibum to be done, so then that would have, it's a little bit, either called ironic or self-contradictory, but how is it that by allowing Yibum to be done, I could have entered a situation where I would have voided the mitzvah of Yibum? So don't forget, we have two women here, two Yibum opportunities. So we're going to tell you, and we're now repeating the Gemara, that Le'olam Ein Zika, there is no bond between Levi Yehuda and the two wives of the two widows. Then why is Yibum not an option? Because Mishum Dikosavar also Levatla Mitzvahs Yivmin. And how is there a voiding of the mitzvah of Yibum? The Dilma Adam Yabem Chad, we're afraid that when, by the time Levi marries, let us say, Levi would marry Leah, Mayis Idoch, Yehuda might die. That by the time Levi makes a move and he marries one of them, before Yehuda marries the other, Yehuda dies. The Kobatlas Mitzvahs Yivmin. With regard to Rachel, no mitzvah of Yibum would be done. And why is that? Well, because once Levi marries Leah, so he can't marry Rachel, and he wouldn't do chalitza with Rachel, because that's called Achos Isha. That would be Levi's wife's sister. And a wife's sister is one of the forbidden relatives. So by allowing Yibum to be done, we're setting up the potential for the voiding of Mitzvah Yibum with regard to the other woman. And when we say Mitzvah Yibum, bear in mind that entails, that includes Chalitza. The Gemara continues with a question. The Ein Zika to Batel, if, as you were maintaining before, that Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zika, there is no bond, then Tibotel, let Mitzvah Yibmin be Botel. Don't forget, we're not doing anything, an actions, we're not doing something that is directly contradicting or countermanding a mitzvah. We're creating a situation where that might arise. You're going to see now a sheet, an opinion says, I don't concern myself with those things. No, we have a long question. Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that Ein Zika, and it's Mutar Levatel Mitzvos Yibmin. So that if that approach were, if the approach if is to be taken, that Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zika, why would Rabbi Meir be worried about being Mevatel Mitzvot Yibin? Rabbi Gamliel, for example, another great Tana, he holds Mutar Levatel Mitzvot Yibin. This not, where do we see him holding that? This not. And here we have a story. Rabbi Gamliel Omer. We should note, by the way, that we have a chart to describe this story. The term miyun is going to come up in this discussion. Let's just remember that we've seen miyun many times already in this sugya. Miyun is a marriage that is considered rabbinic. It is when a minor, a girl under 12 years old, is married off by either her brother or her mother. We have a little chart that reflects this story. You have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to a woman, and we call her Gedola on the chart. She's an adult. It's a full-fledged marriage. And Shimon is married to her sister, but she's a minor. Minor marriage can be undone through mi'un. Mi'un means rejection, where before she reaches adulthood, she says, I don't want to continue living with this man. We are in the middle of a source beginning with Rabbi Gamliel, but we should note that the Tanakhama, he disagrees with Rabbi Gamliel's approach. And maybe we should take a look at Rashi before we learn the Gemara text, just by way of introduction. And we see Rashi, Disnan, Ramliel Omer, Shnei Achim, Nisu, and Shnei Achoyos, as we indicated, two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, are married to two sisters, Achas Gedol and Achas Ketana. One is an adult, and the other is a minor. And when we say minor, we're talking in terms of a rabbinic marriage. Umeis Bailish Lagdela, Reuven, in our chart, was the husband of the adult sister. He dies. V'nofla Lifnei Baal Haktana. And with Reuven dying, leaving no children, so there is Shimon, is his brother. What's he able to do here? She's the Yovoma right now. On a strictly Torah level, Shimon is not married. So there should be nothing wrong with Shimon marrying the widow of Reuven. Shimon's bond to her sister is rabbinic. On a Torah level, Shimon should be able to marry her. So what is he to do? Malamdin esaktano lemayin bebayla velakor nisuel kedei liabe mezu. We tell the ktana, the rabbis would turn to the minor and say, you know, tell your husband, your rabbinic husband Shimon, I don't want to be with you anymore. That in effect uproots retroactively any bond that they may have had. That's called la'akor, to uproot. It uproots any bond. And once the uproot from the origins, any bond, Shimon is considered never having been married to Rachel, to the Ktana. If that could be accomplished, so then Shimon can marry Leah through Yibum. And why are we opting for this? Shezikasa shelzu chamura lesser aktana olav shelohoyu nisua gemurim. Shemotamayin. The connection, the zika, the connection. Now here we're using the term zika in a very, let's say, a light fashion. We're not suggesting right now that the word zika is in the context of the Gemara before, but there is a yibum bond that is formed with Reuven's death. Now that is a doraisa institution. So that zika, that connection, if you will, is chomor, is more significant than the marital bond between Shimon and Rachel, the Ktana. Her marriage is not a complete marriage, as Rashi says. She could always, Shemotamayin, she might at some point before adulthood actually refuse to continue with him. Ulekach lo totsi ezu mishum achos isha, as a result of that flimsy rabbinic marital bond, we can't free the Gedola on the grounds that she, the Gedola, that Leah is a wife of Shimon, is a sister of Shimon's wife. To call her the sister of Shimon's wife is overstating matters. It's only a rabbinic level connection. So we don't. So we're more interested, according to the Tanakhama, in having the Ketana leave the picture through Miyun. And now we start getting more interested because we're now going to get into Shitas Rabbi Gamliel. So let's go now back into the Gemara text. Rabbi Gamliel Oimer, im miyano miyano. If the Ketana does miyun, so fine and good. V'im lo miyano, and if not, you can see Rabbi Gamliel is not encouraging, he's not pushing the miyun. If she does not do miyun, tamtin, we wait. Until Rachel reaches adulthood, and when she reaches adulthood and continues with Shimon, that concretizes or consummates the marriage to a doraisa level, a full-fledged marriage. The Tetzei Halazu means the other one, or this one, it's a reference to Leah, the Gedola, Mishum Achosish, and she leaves, which we would say is Bittul Mitzvas Yivmin. Now there are two things we want to highlight here. From the fact that we allow the Ketana to continue living with Shimon, that indicates there is no zika, there is no bond. If you want to take the Tanakhama all the way, we said before that the term zika was in it, we said in a very general terms, but could be more literal than that, and it is an actual bond, and that's why we would insist that the Ketana leaves the marriage with Shimon, so that they don't continue living in sin. Because if Shimon continues living according to the Tanakhama with the Ketana, he's continuing to live with the sister of someone he has a bond with. But according to Rabbi Amliel, you can see Shimon continues living with the Ketana. Obviously, according to Rabbi Amliel, there's no bond between Shimon and the Yavama. So Shimon, continues living with the Yavama's sister, and it's not called Achos Isha. And as far as Leah is concerned, she goes free. After the Ketana reaches adulthood, she goes free without Yibum, no Chalitza. That's Bittul Mitzvas Yivmin. So, after all said and done, Rabbi Gamliel represents a Shita that holds Ein Zika, and it's mutter levato mitzvah yivmin. If that be the case, well, if you go back to the story with the four brothers before, and you claimed that was according to Rabbi Meir, who takes the position that ein zika, so there should have been no problem with bittul mitzvah yivmin. And why should there be no problem with that? Well, we see Rabbi Gamliel holds Ein Zika, and it's Mutter Levatel Mitzvah Yivmin. So this was the question that was posed. response. Omar Lay. The response to Abaye's question. The Rabban Gamliel ad the Rebbe Meir Koromis. In your question, are you trying to raise a question from Rabban Gamliel onto Rebbe Meir? Koromis means to raise a question, to raise a contradiction or a problem. Are you trying to raise a problem from Rabban Gamliel's point of view onto Rebbe Meir? They're two different Tanoim, and they can argue with one another. Rashi says, Rabban Gamliel ad Rebbe Meir Koromis nihi nami debezika svira luhu kiadati. Granted that regarding zika they hold like one another, namely ein zika, but bitul yifmin pliki, regarding the matter of voiding mitzvahs yibum through canceling either yibum or chalitza, they argue. Rabbi Meir is concerned with that, and Rabban Gamliel is not concerned with that. The Gemara responds with a question. Lo, that wasn't the point. Hachi kwamina. It is the following that I'm trying to raise as a problem. The problem is not that I'm asking per se from Shitas Rabbi Gamliel on Shitas Rabbi Meir, but what bothers me is the following. Rabbi Meir Chayish Afilu Lesfeka of Rabbi Gamliel Afilu Levadai Lo Chayish. Could it be that you have two such polar points of view? That Rabbi Meir, as we said before, Rabbi Meir was concerned. He wasn't describing an actual Bittul Mitzvah Yivmin. He was speaking about creating a situation where that might come to be. That's called a Sofek or Sfeka. And Rabbi Meir was worried about that potential for Bittul Mitzvah Yivmin. We said before, Levi shouldn't marry Rachel in the four-brother scenario because Yehuda might die, leaving Leah with no Mitzvah Yivmin. That might is a Suffolk. So could you have one opinion that is concerned with a Suffolk, with a mere doubt, and another opinion saying you can actually proactively cancel mitzvahs yibum by having in our Rabbi Gamliel story, by having Shimon continue living with Viktana until she becomes an adult, he is, we'll say, proactively rendering no mitzvahs yibum vis-a-vis Leah. He's canceling mitzvahs yibum vis-a-vis Leah. That's what's bothering the Gemara, the Makshin here, if you call it Abaye, was the Makshin. He was bothered by this problem. How can you have two opinions that are so polar? The Gemara responds, that could be. Dilmo man de lo chayish, afim levade lo chayish. According to the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, who's not choshesh for, who doesn't concern himself with bitul mitzvah yibum, he says you can proactively cancel mitzvah yibum. Uman de chayish, and he who concerns himself with bitul mitzvah yibum, afim lesfeka chayish, he concerns himself even with a situation that is, we'll call, not an assured bittul, but even a possible bittul, like we saw above in the case of the four brothers. So that, in simple terms, if that's what's bothering you, don't let it bother you. Once you get preoccupied with mitzvahs, with the problem of bittul mitzvahs, you go all the way, and you're choshish for doubts. If you hold that that's not a problem to begin with, you can proactively cancel the possibility of yibum as well. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where, see, we have a topic heading to Nosei. Hoychocha, a Gemara will try to prove, to ha, to Rav Yehuda Sover, the Yesh Zika. Rav Yehuda was the Amora that we saw on the lower part of Daf Yud Zayin with Beis. According to Rav Yehuda, that takes the stand that there is a bond. And we saw that through his position that the Shomeres Yavam Shemesa, where Reuven's widow died, where Reuven's widow, after she was a Yavama, she then died, Shimon cannot marry her mother because a bond was formed, and Reuven's wife's, or Reuven's widow's mother, is a quasi-mother-in-law to Shimon. this point of view of Rabbi Yehuda that holds Yesh Zika, Mishmuel Raboy Shama Volome Rav. Gemara wants to point out that Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda, who happened to have learned by Rav and Shmuel, after Rav died, so in the course of time, Shmuel eventually ended up learning, that is, Rav Yehuda, the Amora, Rav Yehuda ended up learning by Shmuel, who continued living after Rav's passing. We pointed this out back on in our previous year that Rav Yehuda was quoted as saying his halacha without quoting some previous authority. So here the Gemara wants to know, where did Rav Yehuda get that point of view from? And the point of this Gemara is, once again, we're going to try to show that Rav Yehuda got his point of view. He arrived at his conclusion that there's Yesh Zika through hearing that from Shmuel, not Rav. In our Gemara, you'll notice we have a Mivneh. There are Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei Lishonis, two versions. Kedei Lahasik Shav Yehuda Omar Azdino Al Pi Shmuel, two versions to convey that point, that Rav Yehuda's din is based on Shmuel. The first number, Roman numeral number 1, Derech Hakira, through analysis, and Roman numeral number 2, if you want to skip, so to speak, to the end of the story, you can see on the upper part of Daf Yud Ches Omid Beis, and on the upper part of Omid Beis, a Roman numeral number 2 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, scanning down about a quarter of the way down the top. And there it says, you see the squiggle underlining, Anan Behedyo Maslin Allah. When you see, we use squiggle underlining oftentimes to show an alternative version. So you see there, in that version, it says, we say this explicitly, behedya, straightforward, that Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, etc., and so forth, where Rav Yehuda is quoted black on white as saying in the name of Shmuel. So that, and that's why there, Shmuel's name is dashed underlined. We want to draw your attention that Rav Yehuda is quoting explicitly Shmuel. Here, we're going to come to that conclusion, but through analysis. So now the Gemara. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Ha de Rav Yehuda. That which Rav Yehuda said. Shemeres Yavam Shemesa Aser Be'ima. And as a result of that, we came to the conclusion that there is a bond, Yesh Zikup. So that point is the Shmuel he. That is something that Rav Yehuda got from Shmuel. Disnan. And I hope that it's clear the case of Shomeres Yavam Shemesa Aser Be'ima, that is where Reuven died leaving a Yavama. The Yavama had a mother, but then the Yavama died. Her mother is Aser to Shimon, to Reuven's brother. So that point is something that Rav Yehuda got from Shmuel. Disnan. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, and do note, by the way, that we have a, this is a long point. It says as follows, and we have a Tanaic source upon which you will see a comment made by Rav, by Shmuel, a comment by Shmuel, and it's through that that we're going to see this idea of Yesh Zika. Now what does the source say? The source, by the way, is accompanied by a little diagram, Shomeres Yavam, Shekidesh Ochiv Es Achoisa. So we look at the chart on the side, the little diagram. Again, we have our numberings. By looking at our Gemara markings charts, you can also see progress in time. So you have here a couple of brothers. You've got Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven dies, that's stage one, leaving Leah, leaving an Almona. He dies without children. Levi Levi is in the picture. Bear in mind, he's not married right now. After Reuven dies, leaving Leah, Shimon then marries, he's Mekadesh. Mekadesh, he offers money to Rachel. Now, offering money is the first stage in establishing halachic matrimony. It's a stage where she's considered married, but they haven't lived, they have not consummated their marriage through cohabitation. So Reuven died, leaving two brothers. Shimon then is Mekadesh, Leah's sister. Now, the Gemara. Shimon Shomeres Yavam Shekidesh Ochaves Achosap. Shomeres Yavam, the woman waiting for the Yavam, that's Leah. The brother of Reuven is Mekadesh, offers money in marriage to her sister, to Rachel. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omru, in the name of Rabbi ben Beseira it was stated, Oimrim Loi, we tell Shimon, Hamtain. Hamtain means wait. Wait before you consummate the marriage with intimacy. Wait. Ad Shiase Ochicha Maise. Until Levi does something. Until Levi does Yibum with Leah. Rashi on the third line from the top says, with Levi's marrying Leah, that undoes any Zika, any connection to you, Shimon. But until that happens, Leah is connected to you. So you can't cohabit with her sister. That's a problem of a type of achosisha. She's the woman's that you would be cohabiting with her. It's her sister. So what do we see from this? Alma zika osra lachosa. The bond formed with Leah and Shimon prevents Shimon from cohabiting with Rachel. So there's a bond. We continue in the Gemara. The Omar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. And Shmuel says, we follow this approach, that the bond between Leah and Shimon upon the death of Reuven, that bond prohibits Shimon from consummating his relationship with Rachel. That shows Yesh Zika, the Zika, the bond, prevents Shimon from being with Rachel. Now, so who's saying this? Shmuel is saying this. He's paskening, he's ruling like that. So that when Rav Yehuda, back on Yud Zion with Beis, says Yesh Zika, in the case of the prohibition of the Yavam from marrying the Yavama's mother, we see that Rav Yehuda got his idea from Shmuel. They're different cases, but it's the same principle. The principle being Yesh Zika. Omarle, Rav Yosef says back to Abai, because this point that we just completed, this long point, was something that Abaye introduced. Rav Yosef says back, Di Rav Mai. And if Rav Yehuda had been quoting Rav, like, so what problem would have arisen? The answer, the problem that would have arisen is Kashya de Rav Adarav. There would have been a contradiction in Shitas Rav, because Rav Huna, back on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, quoted Rav. And in quoting Rav, he said to Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, the surviving brother is allowed to marry her mother. In other words, there's no bond. Otherwise, he would be in effect marrying a type of mother-in-law, which is forbidden. But he allowed it. Rav Huna quoted Rav, saying, no bond. So, it wouldn't be fitting for Rav Yehuda to have been quoting Rav saying there is a bond, then you're making a contradiction in Rav. The Gemara asks a question. Dilma Amoroi Ninu Valibo de Rav. Maybe there's a machlokas Amoroi between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda as to what Rav says. How are you so sure that Rav Yehuda was quoting Shmuel? Maybe Rav Yehuda was quoting Rav, just like Rav Huna was quoting Rav, and they, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, argue as to what Rav says. And that's not so unusual in the Shas to have a Amoraic controversy concerning what an earlier Amora said. The Gemara answers, Kevon de Itmar Mishmei de Shmuel Behedya, Umishmei de Rav Kamoroi, since our options right now are as follows. We see Shmuel saying explicitly, Behedya means outright, that Yesh Sika. And if you were to, impose that position upon Rav, you would then create a machlokas amoroyim within Rav, which track is more attractive, is more, simple, or less controversial. Lo shavkinon mishmei d'shmuel behedya. We're not going to leave aside, abandon a possibility of attaching Rabbi Yehuda to Shmuel said so explicitly that yesh zika. We're not going to abandon that possibility. Umukminon kamoroi valiba derav, in favor of establishing Rabbi Yehuda's comment based on Rav, and then having that result in a machlokes amoroyim. You might say it might sound ironic, but as much machlokas as you see in the Shas, we're not interested in creating machlokas, so that if we have a track that avoids creating controversy, that's a more desirable path, and hence it's more likely, as Abaye claimed, it's more likely that Rav Yehuda was quoting Shmuel when Rav Yehuda took the position of Yesh Zika. Omar Rav Kahana. Notice we have a long marking. This is all of this is Rav Kahana's speech, and you can see that this point is emphasized in Rashi in the Dibur Maskil, the Ozdo Shmuel Tameh, that all of this is Rav's speech. So Rav Kahana says, Amriso l'shmaitse kamei d'Rav Zvid min Nahardo. I said over this discussion to Rav Zvid from Nahardo, Omar, and Rav Zvid responded, Atun hochi masnisu lo, anan behedyo masnina lo. You had taught Rav Yehuda without quoting a name. Back on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, you presented Rav Yehuda in a stam fashion, without quoting his Rebbe. That's your way. Anan, we have a different version. And that's why this is squiggled underlined, like we often do in Gemara markings. If you see alternative expressions like Ika di Amri or Iboyas Ema, here too, this is a second version. That's why we also have a Roman number 2. We have a second version in presenting Rav Yehuda. As follows, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shomeris Yavam, Shemesa, the widow of one's brother that died, leaving no children, the brother having left no children, Osir Be'ima, Shimon, the surviving brother, is not allowed to marry that widow's mother. Almo Kosovar, it shows you that Shmuel holds, that this opinion holds, Yesh Zika. That there is a bond formed between the widow and the surviving brother. The Ozda Shmuel Litame, the Omar Shmuel. This is Shmuel, like we saw earlier. Notice we have a double star to the side. You can align this with the double star from above, where Shmuel said Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. We saw that ruling as well in the case of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, upon which we concluded that there is Zika. And just to review, in that case, we were, as a result of the Zika, we were telling Shimon to hold off on marrying, on consummating his marriage with Rachel, the sister of the one with whom he already had a Zika. So now, the question arises, what do I need Shmuel's ruling in two instances. We have Shmuel ruling concerning the case Shemer Shavim Shemesa Aser Beima, and we have the case of the three brothers above. The Gemara says, I need both of these rulings, even though very superficially, it's overkill. You're saying Yesh Zika, you're saying it twice. Why is that necessary? I need both rulings. The E Ashmeinin Yesh Zika, had I had Shmuel ruling in the case of the Shomeris Yavam Shemesa, Reuven died, leaving one brother, Shimon, and then Reuven's widow died. And we say that Shimon cannot marry her mother. Yeah, okay, there was only one brother that survived. Havi Amino, Hani Mili Bechad. I would have thought that a bond is formed when there's only one brother that survives, where Reuven died, leaving just Shimon. That's a very strong, it's very clear where the destination of Reuven's widow. So where that destination is very clear, so a bond is formed. Avo betray lo. But in the case that we featured above on the top of this Amud with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, with Reuven dying, he left Leah. Who says that creates a bond with Shimon? There was also another brother. There was Levi. They're two surviving brothers. So since the destination of Leah with Reuven's death is not so clear, maybe no bond is formed. Komash Malon, therefore, I needed to have the teaching of the ruling, like Rebbe of the Seira, that there is a Zika. The E Ashmin and Halach Rebbe of the Seira, and had we taught the Halacha, had Shmuel taught that the Halacha is like Rebbe of the Seira, in other words, having just that ruling, have Amino Hani Mili Mechayim. I would have thought that the idea of a Zika is when the Yavama is alive. Avalachar Misa Pokalo Zika. But with her death, that undoes the Zika. Komash Malon, we are told by the case of Shomeris Yavam Shemesa that the Zika Bichdi Lo Poka, that Zika without anything done, in other words, without Chalitza, for example, having been done, Bichdi means with nothing having been done, just her death, that's not enough. It doesn't undo the bond. Fantastic idea that death is considered less, we'll say, less significant than and the action of, let us say, Chalitza. So by telling us the halacha of Shomer Yavam Shemesa Osir Be'ima, we're conveying this idea that even Li'achar Misa, the bond still exists. We now arrive at a new Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, you can see our topic heading, the Nosei Oid Be'eshes Ochiv Shelo Hoya Ba'olamoy. More on the topic of the widow of a brother who died before another brother was born. So we've been referring to examples of Reuven having died, leaving a brother, Shimon, that they lived at the same time. However, after Reuven's death, another brother was born, Levi was born. So Levi, vis-a-vis Reuven, Levi is called an Ochiv Shalohoya Bolamo. They didn't coexist. Before we begin the mission itself, it's of utmost importance for the sugya, for the understanding of the sugya, that you should have in front of you the Mishnah from Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the beginning of the Perek, the first Mishnah of the Perek. We have a squiggle underline that is used in our Mishnah, and it's here as our note, the starred note indicates, to compare this to that which is squiggle underlined back on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So on And it's important to note just a couple of things, that we're about to start a very long and very, very involved sugya. As we mentioned at the opening of today's shiur, we're going to have to spill over Daf Yomi wise considerably onto Daf Yud Tes Omed Aleph, and even then we'll be stopping a sugya in the middle because it continues much further than that. we have to think in terms of how strong is this identity going to be maintained throughout. This identity of, let us say, the woman, the widow of Reuven, being identified as strictly the widow of Reuven, or is that identity with regard to the woman possible, subject to possible change? When we say subject to possible change, what we really are alluding to is a situation. Could there be a situation where she won't be viewed anymore as the widow of, simply the widow of Reuven vis-a-vis Levi? Could that change? Well, we're going to see that there is a machlokas tanoim between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, and we've alluded to this in previous dapim of Yevomis already, that given certain circumstances, different, let's say, orders of events, in under certain circumstances there will be unanimity of opinion, and under other circumstances you'll see that there is a machlokas. If you want to say things in a superficial fashion, you can say, is it so that once an Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo, always an Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo? Yes or no? So we continue now by looking at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin and the Mishnah here on Yud Ches Amud Beis. As I say, we have got to hold them next to one another. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph, the first Mishnah of the Perek. If I said Omid Beis before, that's a mistake. It's simply Yud Zayin Omid Aleph. The Mishnah spoke about how do you have a situation of an Eishes Achiv Shelo Ba'olamo? The Mishnah described two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, one dying. Reuven dies, and then we squiggle underline there, after Reuven died, v'nolad lohen ach. Levi was born, v'achar kach yibeim hasheni. First Levi born, then Shimon doing yibum with the wife, with the widow of Reuven. But that's what we focus on. I know that the sugya will seem to be complicated, but if we have any opportunity to focus on something simple, let's do that. Here, the point of focus is, first Levi is born, then Shimon does Yibum with Reuven's widow. There's nothing wrong with Shimon doing Yibum with Reuven's widow. They coexisted at the same time in the world. This idea, by the way, is based on Psukim Drushes that we have seen before in the Masechta. So we're not going to make allusions to the Pasuk that indicates this, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov, but nevertheless, the Pasuk indicates that in order for Yibum to take place, you have to be speaking about brothers that coexisted. So the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amalaf, the first Mishnah of the Perek, describes the problem of Eishes Achiv Shelo Ba'olamo is a problem when Levi, the new brother, is born before Yibum was done with Shimon and the widow of Reuven. That's because they nolad v'achar kach yibeim. Note the order. Nolad and then yibum. Meaning Levi is first born and then yibum is done between Shimon and the widow of Reuven. And when we speak about Soras Erva, we have to have in the back of our minds that Shimon happens to have his own wife. Shimon and Levi, by the way, they coexist. Our Mishnah speaks about Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo. Note the order. So now let's read our Mishnah. Shnei Achim, we're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Shnei Achim, Umeis Echad Mehem, Reuven and Shimon, they were brothers, and Reuven died. We also have a diagram that accompanies this Mishnah, so you can always keep one finger on the diagram. That's where you see the double star marking in the margin. You see there that there was Reuven. He is a slash through him with a number one. He dies. And then, after that, as Reuven died, of course, he left his wife, Eishes Reuven. You notice she's on the chart. What's stage two? V'achakach v'yibeim hasheni es eish yisachar. That was stage two. Shimon does yibum. Notice, stage one, Reuven dies. Stage two, Shimon does yibum. Is Levi around? Not yet. V'achakach nolad lohenach. And then Levi is born. That's stage three. Stage four, Umes, and then Shimon dies. But here we have to emphasize, at the point, as far as the Yibum of Shimon's widow and Levi's birth, what's the order of events? First Yibum, and then Levi's birth. What was on Yud Zayin and Aleph? First birth, and then Yibum of Reuven's widow. Here, in our Mishnah, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but here you have first the Yibum of Reuven's widow, and then Levi's birth. Now, if you want to look at things from a different vantage point, just look at things through Levi's eyes. With Levi's birth, what does he see upon Levi's birth? What does Levi see with regard to the Reuven widow? Well, in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, he saw an unattached woman. He saw a widow. Unattached. Her identity, as far as Levi is concerned, was purely, upon his birth, he saw a woman that was purely the wife of a brother that he never knew. She was a pure Eish Yisachar Shelo Balamoi. In this Mishnah, when Levi is born, what does he see? He sees his brother Shimon married to two women. One of the women happened to be, in her past, the wife of a brother he never knew. So in your mind's eye, which case, if you had to choose, and you don't have to choose, but the truth is there's a machlokas tanaim that comes up, but in your mind, which situation will be more off limits? The situation where Levi sees her as a pure widow of Reuven, or a situation where Levi sees her as having once been a widow of Reuven? So I would guess that everyone could guess from the way I'm presenting it that the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph would be the more severe case, the more off-limits case. Because there, Levi, when he's born, nothing has been done yet with the Reuven widow. It was Nolad, the Achar Kachibem. In our Mishnah, Levi is born, seeing that woman married to Shimon. It could very well be. It's a certain path of thinking that with her marriage to Shimon, that, let's say, cleans the slate. It's like it's restart. You're starting from the beginning with regard to that woman. And as far as Levi is concerned, that woman is simply Shimon's wife, and Shimon has two wives. Again, we're not committing ourselves to any point of view. We're just suggesting a way of looking at things. And again, to simplify matters, we're going to be evaluating Yibeim v'achakach nolad versus nolad v'achakach yibeim. And I hope that short notation is clear. When we say Yibeim v'achakach nolad, we're speaking about two different brothers. Yibeim is Shimon does Yibum, and then Levi is born. The case of Nolad v'achar kach yibeim is first Levi is born, and then Shimon does the yibum. So now, that having been said, we continue in the Mishnah. We are also noting the chart. After Levi's birth, the fourth thing that happened is Shimon then died. Upon Shimon's death, he leaves two women. He leaves his own wife, and he also leaves the woman with whom he had done Yibum, with Reuven's widow. Two women are left. Levi is the surviving brother. His other brothers leaving no children. What is he to do? Harishoino yoytza mishum eish yisachar shelo balamo. That woman who was once identified as Reuven's widow, once Reuven's widow, always Reuven's widow. Once the wife of a woman, of the wife of a man, that was a man, or a brother that you never coexisted with, that label sticks with her. So the Rishona is Yotzeh, she goes out, she is free to marry whomever she wants with nothing necessary on Levi's part. No Yibum, no Chalitza. She just goes out and marries. She is free to marry. She is totally off limits. Vashnia, Shimon's own wife, she also is free, Mishum Tzorasa, based on the concept of Tzoras Erva. She's the co-wife of a woman who was strictly forbidden. Also, Bo Maimer Umeis. Let us say that Shimon didn't do actual Yibum, so he didn't really take her in. But what did he do? He offered her money, something we mentioned earlier today. We'll call it the rabbinic, a rabbinic institution, rabbinic level connection. So he did money. He offered a Yavam, offering the Yavama money is called Maimer. He did that, Umeis, and then Shimon died. So now, bear in mind, with Maimer, Eishes Reuven isn't really fully into Shimon's household. If Shimon did nothing, so then Shimon dying, leaving no children, he leaves a widow though, so Levi would do Yibum with the widow. However, Shimon did do something. He did Maimer with Reuven's widow. Hashnia, the Shnia is the widow of Shimon, Choyletzes Veloy Misyabemes. Levi will participate in Chalitza with her. She'll remove Levi's shoe. That frees her, but she cannot marry Levi. Why not? Because she's a partial Tzoras Erva. She's a partial co-wife of a forbidden woman. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, Rabbi Shimon is a comment going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The case of Yibeim V'achakach Nolad. In the case of Yibeim V'achakach Nolad, Rabbi Shimon tells us, "Miyabeim li'ezo mehem shiyirtze, or chilitz li'ezo mehem shiyirtze." According to Rabbi Shimon, according to the Tana Rabbi Shimon, when Shimon marries through Yibum the wife of the widow of Reuven, she becomes Shimon's regular wife, complete regular wife. Her identity as an Eishes Ochav Shel Bemo is eradicated. It's erased. So, that being the case, Shimon dies, leaving two wives, no children. So Levi has the option of marrying whichever one he chooses, Miyabim le'ezim mimshirtze, or cholitz, or he does chalitza. In other words, standard approach to a brother dying without children, leaving two wives. The way we read things, the way we presented things, is that Rabbi Shimon is allowing Yibum on the part of Levi. Levi is allowed to do Yibum with in this case of where Yibum v'achakach nolad, that scenario where Shimon first did Yibum before Levi was born. What is Rabbi Shimon's position? Now, this we didn't speak about explicitly. We alluded to this, but what is Rabbi Shimon's approach? What would the Tana Rabbi Shimon say about the case of Yud Zayin Aleph, namely Nolad V'Achakach Yibeim? And the way we presented things before, I hope it's still fresh, that in the case of Nolad, where Levi is born before anything is done with the widow of Reuven, she's a pure Eishes Ochiv Shelo Hoya Bolomo in that case. What would Rabbi Shimon say regarding that scenario where Nolad V'achar kach Yibeim, and then Shimon dies leaving two wives, his own wife of course, but also a woman that Levi had seen earlier, a woman that Levi had seen when he was born as a pure Eishes Ochiv Shelo Hoya Bolomo? As far as this issue, what is the Tano Rabbi Shimon's approach to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph? This is a Machloikes Amoroyim, a Machloikes Reboshaya and Rav Papa. You'll notice we have bow ties. These bow ties will highlight these two opinions. Number one is Reboshaya right over here, and number two is Rav Papa on the lower part of Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Now, even though we're going to be spilling over, we're not going to be able to finish the sugya. That would be going too far. So our hope is at this juncture in time to get to, at least to get to, Rav Papa, presenting to you the position right now of Rav Hoshaya. On the side of the Gemara, before we get into the Gemara text, we have a Nosei Mivneh, and we indicate that this discussion goes till Yud Tes Omid Beis. The bow tie is used to highlight Deos, opinions, Beshitas Rebbe Shimon, with regard to the Tana Rebbe Shimon, Be'eshes Ochiv Shela Bolomo, Mosai Hu Matir Liabi. Now we've seen Rebbe Shimon allowing a yibum marriage with a woman that was once an Eishes Ochiv Shelo Habolamo. That's very clear. She was once that. But the issue is, once that, always that. Well, Rabbi Shimon clearly doesn't hold thusly. How far does the Tana Rabbi Shimon go in allowing yibum with an Eishes Ochiv Shelo Habolamo? So, in our introduction, we've noted, number one, Rebbe Hoshaya, B'yibeim ulebesof nolad v'afilu benolad ulebesof yibeim. Rebbe Hoshaya goes all the way. In other words, Rebbe Shimon is very open to Levi's marriage, allowing yibum in a situation where the widow of Reuven married Shimon along the way. As far as Rebbe Hoshaya is concerned, it doesn't really matter when she, the widow of Reuven, married Shimon in our chart. It doesn't really matter. She certainly, Rebbe Shimon allows, in the case where first she married Shimon and then Levi was born, and Rebbe Hoshaya goes even in the case where Levi was first born and then Shimon married Reuven's widow. We have a little note on our introduction. There's a star. It goes a little bit further underneath Rav Papa's note. You see where the star, just go down in our note. Al pi hayesod, this halacha of nolad ulebesov yibeim, how can Rav Hoshaya allow that? How can he allow that when first Levi is born and then Shimon marries? So we say al pi hayesod de zika kiknusa, based on this concept of a bond, which we spoke about at the beginning of today's shiur, the bond is as if she's fully married. Hazika l'Shimon, at the point that Reuven died, a bond was formed with Shimon. That bond, hofei chayavom aliyos kiknuso kvar l'Shimon lifnei leidas Levi, that makes her the widow of Reuven, as if she's fully married to Shimon. Well, if she's fully married to Shimon, then as far as the Tano, Rabbi Shimon, and is concerned, there should be no reason for Levi not to be able to do Yibum. He should be allowed to do Yibum. That's Rav Hoshaya's approach. We can look also at Roman numeral number 2 in our note. Rav Papa, who's on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. It's also interesting to note that on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, there's a Rashi, Dibor Maschil Rav Papa, one of the many Rashis throughout the Shas that shows how markings are so, so significant. Rashi there, 5 lines from the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Rashi says, Rav Papa li'el mahadar. Rav Papa, who appears in the Gemara, is going back on that which was earlier, upolig ad Rav Hoshaya. Well, for those of us who are learning with, of course, this shiur, it's so obvious because of the way we've marked the Gemara. But for those who don't have a marked Gemara, and they see Rav Papa there at the way into Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, you wouldn't know where he's coming from. But Rashi helps you, and he tells you, well, that Rav Papa is going back on to that which Rav Hoshaya has said. And so our note continues here on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Rav Papa holds that Rabbi Shimon Yatir, Rabbi Shimon will allow Rak B'Yibayim Ulusof Noilad, only in the case presented in our Mishnah now, where first the brother Shimon married the widow of Reuven, and only after that Levi was born. Shalomotza be'isur klal, where upon Levi's birth he didn't see her, the widow of Reuven, in a prohibited state. He saw her upon his birth. She was already married through Yibum to Shimon. So now we turn to the Gemara text. Omar Rebbe Oshaya. Cholukoya Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon in his allowing of Yibum was at odds. Choluk means he was arguing with the word machlokis. Even Cholukoya Rebbe Shimon af borishona. Also in the first case, meaning, and we wrote in here between the lines, even the case of Nolad Ulibasof Yibim. Even there, the Tana Rebbe Shimon allowed Levi to eventually do Yibum upon the death of his brother Shimon. Mimai, how does Rav Oshaya know that? How does he know how far the Tana Rebbe Shimon is going? Answer, Midikatoni Mishnah Yisera. From the fact that there is that which would appear to be extra in terms of the Mishnayos. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's try to articulate what the Gemara will say outside of the text. We were speaking at some length about the two scenarios. Nolad v'sof Yibim, Yibim v'sof Nolad. And we presented the question of which case would appear to be more severe, a bigger problem in terms of allowing Yibim. And I think that at this point we can agree that the case of Nolad Ulibasof Yibim is the bigger problem, where Levi is born seeing her unattached, seeing Beatius, the widow of Reuven, unattached. The Rabbonon, the Tanakama, he doesn't allow either one of the cases. He, the Tanakama, he doesn't allow Yibum even in the case of Yibim Ulibasof Nolad. So, and that's, we'll say, the simpler case, the less severe case, the Tanakama is already prohibiting that. From the Tanakama's point of view, he's very restrictive. If I tell you that Yibim, Ulbasof Nolad, is forbidden, where first Shimon, the brother, marries the widow of Reuven, Levi is then born seeing the woman completely married to Shimon, and the Tanakama tells you that upon Shimon's death, Levi does not do any Yibum or Chalitza. Well, then certainly in the case that first Levi was born, Nolad Ulibasof Yibim, certainly that would be Osir. So if we have our Mishnah right here, where the Rabbonin are restrictive, the Mishnah on the Afyud Zion would be obvious to be prohibited. Why? What do I need the Mishnah on the Afyud Zion for if I have the Mishnah over here, as far as the Rabbonin are concerned? So there must be some kind of agenda in presenting both of these Mishnayos. The Gemara now. How does Rav Oshaya know that Rabbi Shimon goes all the way in allowing, in both of the cases, allowing Levi to do Yibum? So the Gemara says, from the fact there's a Mishnah Yisera, extra Mishnayos information. Bava Dereisha. The Bava means the section taught in the beginning, on Daf Yud Zayim Aleph, the case of Nolad Ulibasof Yibim, Laman Katoni Law. For whom is that taught? In other words, to bring out whose opinion? Ilema l'Rabbanan. If it's there to feature the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are restrictive. And the Mishnah there said that Nolad Ulibasof Yibim is Osir. That's what the Mishnah, that's the position the Mishnah took over there. That's, the Mishnah was using the case of Nolad Ulibasof Yibim to illustrate Eishes Achav Sholeb Olomo, which was taught in the first Mishnah of the Masichta, that she is Osir and she exempts the co-wife, a completely forbidden relationship. What do I need that Mishnah for? To show whose point of view? If it's to accentuate the Rabbanon, I don't need the Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin Aleph to show that. Hashta, now, Yibeim Ulubasov Nolad. The case of the brother Shimon first doing Yibum and only then Levi is born, the less severe case. Upon Levi's birth, he finds the Almon of Reuven married to a brother Shimon that he coexists with. So he finds her behetera. He finds her married to a brother that's mutter. And yet Asri Rabbanon, and yet the Rabbanon do not allow Levi under those circumstances to do Yibum. Nolad v'achar kaf yibe mibaya. The case featured on Daf Yud Zayin, where first Levi is born, and then Shimon, the brother, does Yibum. Do I need to be told that that is forbidden? According to the Rabbanan, that's obvious. Elo, Lav, the Rabbi Shimon Itzterich. I need the Mishnah to feature that case in anticipation of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. To tell us that it's true the Rabbanan answered that, but that I would have known from our Mishnah. But when Rabbi Shimon is matir, the case of Eishes Ochav Shel Malomo, you should know, he is matir not only the case of Yibei Mulubasof Nolad, but he is matir even the case of Nolad Ulubasof Yibei. So both by the fact that you have what we call this the extra case, it's there to accentuate the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and showing us how far he goes. And the Gemara elaborates. The Tana Reisha Lo Diach HaKoichot Rabbi Shimon. The Tana, and on Daf Yud Zayin, that's the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah split, we can say, between Daf Yud Zayin and the Mishnah here, hence we call one a Reisha, one a Seifa. The Reisha on Daf Yud Zayin is taught the case of Nolad Ulisof Yibayim to show us how far Rabbi Shimon goes in allowing that even though when Levi was born he saw an usser woman, but as we explained before in our introduction, the fact that there was a bond between the brother Shimon and the Almona, that made her as if she's completely married to him. So that case, we say, is mutter, all the more so the case over here on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, the Tana Seifa, the Mishnah here of Yibeim Ulebesof Nolad is taught Lo Diach HaKoichon De Rabbanan to show us how far the Rabbanan go in prohibiting. Now you might ask that if Rabbi Shimon is in fact permitting the case on Daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, why didn't Rabbi Shimon appear over there? The Gemara explains Ubedinhu Deniflug of Shemu Reisha. Technically, Rabbi Shimon should have spoken up there on Daf Yud Zayin Omen Aleph and Matir Levi, the brother Levi, to do Yibum, even though when he was born, she had the Almona of Reuven had not yet married Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon should have spoken up there, technically. Elo Notar Lehu LeRabbanan Adem Mesaymi LeMilsayhu. He waited. Notar means he waited until the Rabbanan, who are restrictive, until they finish their halacha, their teaching. The Hodar Polig Olayo, and then he spoke up. Then Rabbi Shimon spoke up, so that when you, according to the Amora Rabbi Shaya, when you're learning our Mishnah, and Rabbi Shimon is saying that Levi Miabim Lezu Mem Shirtzin, our Mishnah, you can see we underline Rabbi Shimon in a Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon is telling us that Levi can do Yibum to either his brother Shimon's own wife or the Yibum wife. In both cases, whether it's Yibeim Ulisof Nolad or even the case of Nolad Ulisof Yibeim, Rabbi Shimon is Matir Levi in doing Yibum with one of his brother Shimon's wives. After presenting Rav Hoshaya's opinion regarding Rabbi Shimon and how far Rabbi Shimon allows Eishes Achiv Shelo Hoya Balamo, the question is, where does Rabbi Shimon prohibit the case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hoya Balamo? We should note that Eishes Achiv Shel Balamo is based on a pasuk. We saw this quoted on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the upper part of the page. The Gemara had asked Eishes Achiv Shel Balamo Hechuk Siva, and the Gemara presented the pasuk of Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov. That was all we saw in the Gemara. So the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, where does he find value in that pasuk? The Gemara. Elo eishes achiv shelohay abalama le Rabbi Shimon hechi mishkachas la. Where does it ever turn up? Answer. Bechad acha umis. Finolad Loach, a very simple case where Reuven dies, leaving a widow, and after Reuven dies, a brother is born, Shimon. That's it. In that case, where upon Reuven's death, a widow is left, and there's only one brother, and he is born after Reuven's death, that widow is off-limits. Shimon cannot marry her. She goes free, without Yibum or Chalitza. Inami, another scenario, betray, velo Yibim, velo Mis. Or we can talk about two brothers that appear on the scene, besides Reuven. And it's a case that we, similar to the case we discussed earlier, Reuven dies, leaving a widow, and Shimon does not do Yibum, and then Levi is born, and Velomis means Shimon doesn't die. She, the widow of Reuven, is usher to Levi. Even Rabbi Shimon will agree with that. The Gemara continues. Bishlama, I understand that which Rabbi Shimon is matir. In the case of Yibeim ulebaso v'achakach nolad, the case featured in our Mishnah here on Daf Yud Chesamet Beis, I understand Rabbi Shimon's leniency in allowing Levi to do Yibum. When he was born, he finds her beheter. He finds her married to Shimon. Elo nolad v'achar kach Yibay maitaimo. But where first Levi is born, and only afterwards Shimon does a Yibum marriage with her, why should she eventually be mutter to Levi with Shimon's death? Now, we answer, and we explain this in our introduction. Kosovar yesh zika. The Tana Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that there is an actual bond between the brother Shimon and Reuven's widow upon Reuven's death. Vezika kiknusa damya. And when we speak about a bond, it goes all the way legally. It's as if she's fully married. And that makes it such that when Levi is born, it's like Yibeim Ulebasof Nolad. So that even though on a practical level we have something called Nolad Ulebasof Yibeim, on a legal level it's really Yibeim Ulebasof Nolad. Now as we go along in the Gemara, we have a new marking on the side, the Mivneh, the triangle marking, Ma'akav. The triangle point facing up represents a kushya in this case, and the inverted triangle, a tshuva, a response. Do note that this marking scheme is going to last a long time. It's going to take us till the end of the shir, up, it's going down till Rav Papa, in the lower part of Daf Yud Tes Omen Aleph. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Note, this is a long question. It's quite long, so take note of the markings. Rav Yosef asks, Hashta, Zika u'maimer, misafka le Rabbi Shimon, I kiknusa damya, I lav kiknusa damya. Zika lechuda mibaya? Rav Yossi feels that there's a dichotomy, almost something contradictory, in so far as later we see, the Gemara will present the source for it, but let's just analyze the principle, that Rabbi Shimon, in a case where you have a bond, a zikah, plus mimer, adding fuel to the fire. Not only is there a bond, but there is even an act, a rabbinic act, to strengthen the bond. And we find Rabbi Shimon is besafek. He's doubtful whether we view the Yavama as fully married or not. In our case of Nolad Ulebesof Yibein, that Rav Shimon is allowing that simply based on a simple Zika, without an additional Mimer, without an additional bonding force, how can we be so sure that Rabbi Shimon will go and say Zika Kiknusa? So if we just restate this in simplistic terms, where you have a lot of bonding force, Rabbi Shimon is in doubt if there's a real bond formed, where there's less bonding force, how can he be so sure that there is a complete bond formed? That doesn't make any sense. Of course, eventually, in order to get out of this, if we can add additional variables and considerations, it could be that even though you have additional bonding power, but because of other considerations, say additional brothers, multiple, let's say other counter forces that will weaken the bond, that's why it's weakened over there. But in a case where you don't have those other outside forces, it could be that the Zika itself forms a very strong bond. And all of this idea of strong bond is to accomplish Zika Kiknusa, that the bond makes her, the Yibum bond, waiting in the balance, waiting on deck for Yibum, is considered completely married to the Yavam. How far do we go? So, Rav Yosef introduced the basic form of the question that we see later, and the Gemara will present the sources, that where you have a lot of bonding power, Rabbi Shimon is in doubt of how strong the bond is. We have less bonding power, how can Rabbi Shimon take a definitive stand that it's a firm bond? Now, notice the markings. At this point in the Gemara, a bracketed section appears. And you'll notice a very long brackets. The reason for this is explained in the starred note, Tocha Sograyim Ave Horeka. Within the brackets, we'll be presenting the background, Shemi Menu Niresh Rabbi Shimon Mesafkale Afilu Beziko Maimer Yavi Kiknusa. The background to the issue. The issue we presented. And once again, the issue is that from that which we will see in the brackets, where there's a lot of binding force between the Yavam and the Yavama, and yet Rabbi Shimon is in doubt as to how strong the bond is, where you have less binding power, no mimer is done, how could it be that Rabbi Shimon is sure that the bond is firm, Zika Kiknusa? Now, if we skip the bracketed section, you'll see how the Gemara answers. The question was raised. Answer, Omar Le Abaye, do you notice where we are on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, the inverted triangle? He says, Omar Le Abaye, Velo Shani Loch. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, who raised the question, Abaye says, don't you make a distinction between that which is in the brackets and the case presented by our Mishnah? Velo Shani Loch Bein Zikas Yavom Echod Le Zikas Shnei Yivin. Maybe when Rabbi Shimon says that the Zika forms a strong bond, that's where there is only one brother that is there at the time that the widow appears as a widow. But when you're dealing with, as we will see in the bracketed section of the Gemara, we're dealing with two brothers that are there, so then the bond is not so strong, it's not clear. So that's a very, what's a fairly simple Gemara structure. You have the question and then the answer, and of course the dialogue continues, as you can see by the numerous triangles and their rapidly changing position. Now we have to go to the background. We go within the bracketed section. Where is it that we see that Rabbi Shimon expresses some type of doubt? We might note ahead of time that even within the bracketed section, there's an internal brackets as well, where the Gemara tries to offer a type of solution, but it will reject the solution, leaving us with the question by the end of the bracketed section. The Gemara, at the brackets, we're at the lower part of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. My he, what is the case of Zika and Maimer? Disnan. We present a Tanaic source. Shloisho Achim Nisuin Shalosh Noshim Nochrios. We have a little chart on the side, a little diagram. You can see we've got Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Those are three brothers. They're married to three unrelated women. The word nochrios, if you're familiar with the word in general, so it might appear confusing over here, but nochrios means they're unrelated, as opposed to achoyos. Achoyos were three, were women that are sisters to one another. Here they are unrelated. Umeis echod mehen. Now we look at our chart, and we note the progression of time. Number one, the slash through rain, he dies. He leaves a widow. That's Eshes Reuven. The also bought Shani Maimer. Shani is Shimon, then does Maimer. You see number two on the diagram? That's a Maimer where Shimon offers money to a Yavama, a rabbinic expression, we will say, a rabbinic act. We're causing some type of, we'll say, some rabbinic bond. Umeis. Now, Shimon had been married to a woman. We indicated that before. He then dies. He leaves his own wife and a woman with whom he did, a Yavama with whom he did Maimer. Hare Elu Choltzos Velo Misyavmois. Levi cannot do Yibum. He does Chalitza, he does not do Yibum. Just to, before we go further, we have to note that Shimon had an actual wife. If Shimon had done nothing, so then all that would have been is you have Reuven's widow and then Shimon's widow. Levi could have done Yibum. But in this case, Shimon had done Maimer. He had bonded himself rabbinically. In addition to whatever Yibum relationship there is, he also did Maimer. And that has an effect on Shimon's own wife. You're creating a type of co-wife a relationship. And if you have two women in one house, you know very well that you cannot do Yibum with both of them. So in this case, where Shimon had taken the Eshes Reuven through Maimer, we say only Chalitza is an option. Shenemar, Umeis Echod Mehen, Yavama Yavo Oleha. And we darshan this pasuk, Mi She Oleha Zikas Yavam Echod, V'lo She'oleha Zikas Shnei Yivmin. A woman who is connected, Zika is a connection of one Yavam, not a woman that has two Yavamim upon her. This, the wife of Reuven, how is she, let us say, after Shimon does Maimer to her, how is she, let's say, connected with Levi? Well, she's got upon her the Reuven title. She is Reuven's widow, and Levi has a, we'll say, a Yibum obligation with regard to her being a widow of his brother Reuven, and Levi has an obligation with regard to Shimon as well. So that the Reuven widow, after Mimer was done, is coming with two names upon her. She's coming as Reuven's widow, and she's also coming as Shimon's widow. So that's called Zikas Shnei Yivmin. The Balas HaMaimer is Zikas Shnei Yivmin. We might want to add that the other wife, the wife of Shimon, the real wife of Shimon, would then be, we'll say, a co-wife of a problematic woman. So the Gemara is telling us that Levi's only option is to do chalitza, but he cannot marry either one. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, we continue in our Tanaic source with Rabbi Shimon, and of course, Rabbi Shimon really is the focus of our attention. Rabbi Shimon says, Miyabem le'ezehu mehen shiirtze, v'choleitz lashnia. We look at Rashi, Miyabem le'ezehu shiirtze, d'les le'hach drosh d'zikas shnei yivmin. Rabbi Shimon is not influenced by the drosha we saw just before of a woman that has two yivmin attached to her name. De'i Mimer Koine, if Mimer is effective, Harehi Eishes Sheni Ve'en Kanelo Zikoso, she becomes Shimon's, the brother Shimon's wife, and there's only Shimon's name upon her. V'im ein koine, if Mimer does not koine, doesn't bond, doesn't cause acquisition, arehu kamo she'eno, v'ein kan elo zikas rishon. Then Shimon is not in the picture as far as that of the widow of Reuven, and there's only the Reuven connection that she has. So it's either or. She's either, if Mimer is koine, the widow of Reuven is not associated anymore with Reuven, and if Mimer is not koine, she's associated only with Reuven. She doesn't have, there's no issue here of two yivmim on her. And then, as far as the second woman is concerned, chalitza is done. And Rashi says, Mishum Sveka, Kidim Meforsh V'Azil. There is an element of doubt. If things were totally black on white, so chalitza would not be necessary either way. In other words, Yibum would, it's either Yibum or nothing. You know, Yibum could have been an option, or it would have been zero. What I said is not 100% accurate if you take me literally, but we'll see what the suffix is as we go through the Gemara. Yevumi Travaihu Loi. As far as Shitas Rabbi Shimon is concerned, the brother Levi cannot marry both. The Dilmo Yesh Zika. Note, we dashed underline this, and this is very important by way of markings. We are bringing this entire section to show that Rabbi Shimon is in doubt regarding matters of Zika, and this is the heart of Rav Yosef's question. Whereas we said before in explaining the Tana Rabbi Shimon that Zika is a very clear bond. Zika creates a complete bond. That is not so clear over here. Levi cannot do Yibum with both. The Dilma Zika Yesh Zika. Maybe there is Zika. And if there is Zika upon Reuven's death, well, she's considered then married to Shimon. And then you would have two women that are married to Shimon. Vahavu, Shnei Yevamos, Habois. We continue at the top of Yutes Amalav, Mibayas Echad. You would have a situation of two women coming from one house, two widows from one husband, and that everyone knows is based on the Gzeres HaKosov. As Beis Ochiv Rashi quotes the Gzeres on the top, that when a brother dies leaving two wives, Yibum is done only with one. So as far as doing Yibum with both, Levi cannot do Yibum with both, because maybe there is Zika. Yibum Echada, the Iftar Idach Loi, to have Levi do Yibum with one of the widows and the other woman going free, that's also not an option. The Dilma Ein Zika Kiknusa. Maybe Zika doesn't make the widow of Reuven as if she's married to Shimon. And then you have a very simple case of two widows coming from two separate houses, one of Reuven and one of Shimon. And where you have a brother that survives, two brothers that died, and each one leaving one wife, that surviving brother would have an obligation to both of the women. So to say that Levi would do Yibum with one and the other woman goes free with nothing, without Yibum or Chalitza, that cannot be, because maybe it's two women from two separate households based on the idea of Ein Zika Kiknusa. Alma Misafka Leh. So Rabbi Shimon, you can see, is in a position of doubt concerning Zika. And note, his doubt arises even though Shimon did Maimer. We call that extra a binding force. Doesn't matter. There's still a doubt. And if that's the case, if Rabbi Shimon is in doubt regarding the power of Zika, how can it have been explained earlier that, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, Zika Kiknusa, and therefore, in the case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Balamo, even in the case of Nolad Ulebesof Yibeim, the brother Levi is going to be allowed to do Yibum. All based on the idea that as soon as Reuven died in that case, a bond was formed between Reuven's widow and Shimon, making her as if she was fully married to Shimon. In light of what we see over here, that position on the part of the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, is hard to accept. So, again, we see brackets. The question has been, this has emphasized, we've given you now the background to the question. After these angular brackets, the inverted triangle will appear with the answer. Within the brackets, there is an attempted answer, but it won't be accepted. There's a note on the side, there's a starred note. The Sograyim Elu, HaGemora Menase Loimar, the Gemora tries to say, Shetam Shreb Shimon, Eino Mishum de Misafkale. That which Reb Shimon here is taking the position of Yibum with one and do Chalitza with the other is not coming from a standpoint of suffix. It's not coming from a standpoint of doubt. Elo Mishum Gzeira. It's rather because of a rabbinic restriction that is imposed. In other words, Reb Shimon has a definitive opinion regarding Zika is Kiknusa, but yet there's an element of, let's say, not doubt, but rabbinic consideration. A gzeira. Basof ha-gemora doicha es ha-vechi tema. After this is presented as a possibility, the Gemara will reject it. V'nishar ima she-ne'emar lifnei sogram. And we'll be left with the problem that we have reached till now. So now we continue in the Gemara. V'chi tema. You might want to say, Midoraisa hochanami demiyabmo chado miftoro chado. That on a Torah level, the Zika is kiknusa. They're both considered the wives of Shimon alone. Levi would do Yibum with one and the other is free without anything. And all the more so with Zika and Maimer having been done. Umidarabonan hu the Asur. And from a rabbinic standpoint, we don't want the other woman to go out with nothing, just to go free. Why? Gzeira mishum shemo yomru. We're afraid people might think shnei yevamos habos mishnei botim. They'll confuse this case with a case of two women coming from two separate houses. Reuven dying, leaving his widow, Shimon dying and leaving his widow. They'll think that in that case also you do Yibum with one and the other goes out free. That's not true. In other words, that and in that case, that certainly is not the way to behave. So therefore, even in our case where there was Zika, there was Mimer was done, and that would make her fully related to Shimon, and they're both considered simply the wives of Shimon. We're not going to say do even with one and the other one goes free, and so because people would confuse our case with the case of two women coming from two separate houses. The Gemara though rejects this approach. Just to repeat, this approach is suggesting that midoraisa zika is hiknusa. The Gemara says, "V'ha taimed Rabbi Shimon." The basis of Rabbi Shimon is mishum maimer v'lav maimer hu. It's based on the question of is maimer kaina or not. That's the suffix. It's, in other words, it's a case of Rabbi Shimon's position is based on a suffix, on a matter of doubt, and not based on a gzeira de rabbanan. Disanya, and we will now illustrate that. Omar lahem Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says in response to the Chachamim, bearing in mind, of course, we saw already that the Chachamim had taken a stand where both do Chalitza and no Yibum. Rabbi Shimon said he chooses one and does Chalitza with the other. So Rabbi Shimon said to them, Homar lehem Rabbi Shimon lechachomim, Im Maimer shel Sheni Maimer, if the Maimer that Shimon did is a full Maimer, then Ashes Sheni hu Boel, then if he has relations with her, so he's having relations with her on the basis that she is Shimon's widow. The Maimoro Shelsheni Eino Kone, and if the Maimer that he did, that Shimon did with the Ashes Ruvain is not Kone, Ashes Rishon Huboel, then his intimacy with her would be as the widow of Ruvain. So that as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, his conclusion is based on a matter of doubt, suffolk, not a matter of a gezeira the rabbanon. On the side that Maimer is not koine, so Shimon's widow cannot be let go free. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon, the Tana said, you have to do Chalitza. After all has been said and done, we see that the Rabbi Shimon's approach to Zika is one of doubt. If it were clear that there is Zika, so then Levi would have simply done Yibum with one of them and the other woman would have gone free. So how can it be said that Rabbi Shimon is sure that Zika is Kiknusa in the case of Eishes Ochiv Shaloy Balamo that we had before, where we said that even in the case of no Ladu L'Besof Yibim, Levi could do Yibum? Omar Le Abaye. Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, the cases are different. The lo shani loch bein zikas yovom echod lezikas shnei yivmin. Do you not make a distinction like the case of our Mishnah? In our Mishnah with the Eishes Ochiv Shaloy Balamo, when Ruvain died, there was only one brother on the scene. That would create a strong bond. The case that we just had involved two brothers were left after Ruvain died. That's called Zikas Shnei Yivmin. Dilma Kiyomer Rabbi Shimon Zika Kiknusa Damya, it could be that Rabbi Shimon said that the Zika forms a complete bond as if she's fully married. That's Biyava Mechod. That's where there is only one surviving brother. One brother that's there at the time she becomes a Yavama. So if there's only he is around, it's clear what her destination is. She's considered fully married to him. And then later, when Levi is born, she is considered, it then becomes like the case of Yivei Mulubasof Nolat. Aval, the Gemara continues, Bishnei Yivmin Lo. But where Reuven dies, leaving two brothers, it's not clear what her destination is. So the idea of a Zika existing, creating a bond, isn't so strong. Question. Umi Shoni Le Rabbi Shimon? Does Rabbi Shimon make such a distinction? V'ha Tanya. Klal Omar Rabbi Shimon. Klal means a rule. Klal Omar Rabbi Shimon. Kol Shahaleda Kedemes Lenisuin. Wherever the birth of the, in the case of Eishes Achiv Shaloi Belama, wherever Levi's birth, using our previous example, comes before Shimon marries the Almona of Reuven. Loi Choyletzes V'lo Misyabemes. When that Sheni dies, when Shimon dies, so Levi does nothing. No chalitza, no yibum. Nisuin koidim l'leida, where Shimon does yibum before Levi is born, then oy choyletzes, o misyabemes. My love, is it not so that this statement of Rabbi Shimon includes B'yavam Echad, where there's only one brother? In other words, when Reuven dies, there's only one brother, the Katani. And it says, Loi Chayletzis V'lo Misyabemis, that eventually when Levi is born, he does nothing. And we don't say that Zika Kiknusa. And we don't say that the Zika that was formed with Reuven's death and Shimon and Reuven's widow, making her like completely married, and making it like a case of Nolad Ulebesof Yibeim, or I should say Yibeim Ulebesof Nolad. We don't say, therefore, let's just repeat that, we don't say that the Zika makes it like Knusa in the case of Nolad Ulebesof Yibeim. And that is against Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya's whole point was that when Reuven died and left Shimon, even though Levi was born before Shimon did anything, as far as Rav Hoshaya was concerned, the fact that there was a bond made it such that it was like a case of Yibeim Ulebesof Nolad. Here we don't say that. The Gemara says, Loi. The case we just read, Klal Omar Rabbi Shimon, and we said that wherever Levi is born before Shimon did anything, it's a case B'Shnei Yivmin. When Reuven died, there was not just Shimon, there were two brothers that were around at the time. If we look in Rashi, in the upper part of the page is a starred Rashi, Lo b'shnei yivmin, shehoyu shloisha achim u'meis echad mehem v'nofel lefnei hashnayim. There's a chart that helps illustrate this. When Reuven died, there was Shimon and Levi. So stage one, you can see on the chart, stage one, Reuven dies leaving a widow, and there is at that time Shimon and Levi. And stage two, then Yehuda is born. That's, she fell at the time of Reuven's death, she became a Yavoma to two brothers. The Nolad Lohem Achim, then Yuda was born, Hahi Vadai Asira Olov, the High Basra. In that case, the Reuven widow is going to be Osir to Levi, Afilu L'achar Shimua Hashnaim Orishonu Mumesu, even after those other brothers, Shimon and Levi, will do Yibum with her and die, To Vadai Nolad ulesof yibeim, who that is clearly a case of nosof yibeim. Da'i zika da'avilo gabi hani koydim le'gosu shazel lo alimo, that zika that existed before Yehuda's birth was not strong enough the shavi k'knusa to make her as if she's fully married. Lemeve ki yibum ulebesof nolad. It's a, we'll say, a watered down bond. So even Rabbi Shimon will acknowledge, says Rabbi Oshaya, that in such a case, Yehuda would not be allowed to marry that widow of Reuven. Continuing in the Gemara. Question. Avol b'yavam echod mai, but in the case where Reuven dies, leaving only Shimon before Levi's birth. Hachinami, are you going to say then, oichoy letzis o misyabemis, that both options are open to Levi? Ihachi, if that's true, aditoni, instead of teaching nisuin kaidman leleda, where the marriage takes place before the birth of the new brother, oichoy letzis o misyabemis, lifloig velisni. But you could have made a distinction within the case of Leda Kodemis Linisuin. In other words, instead of going to a new case of marriage coming before birth, you could have stayed within the case of birth before marriage and made a distinction. Bamed Var Mamurim, when do we say Loi Choyletzis and No Misyabemis? B'shnei Yivmin, when upon Reuven's death he leaves two brothers. Then, as far as the brother born afterwards, we say he has nothing to do with that woman. Avol b'yavam echad, but with the death of Reuven he leaves only one brother. Oicholetzis o misyabemis. Notice, once again, want to emphasize, we could have made the distinction between the chiluk between lochotzis and v'loimisyabemis versus both options being open within the circumstance of leida kodemis, where the birth of the new brother, the ochiv shelo hoya b'lomo, takes place before any yibum is done. Again, just to repeat, that if the birth of the new brother is such where two brothers had survived the original brother, so then lo choletzis v'lo misyabemis. However, when the new brother is born, there's only one surviving brother, we would then say ziko kiknusa, and we would say oy choletzis o misyabemis. So the distinction could have been made under those circumstances within the case of the new brother's birth coming before any yibum had been done. So why didn't the source make that distinction? The Gemara answers, Kula b'shnei yivmin komairi. This source wanted to deal exclusively with cases of two brothers surviving Reuven. To tell me the Isur and Heter in cases involving Shnei Yivmin. Well, if that's the case, then the language above is problematic. Velo my klola. Klola means a rule. A rule, as a rule, should imply that it's black and white. In other words, without qualifications. Rashi elaborates. Elo mai klola, hayol ubiyavam echad, since in the case of one yavam surviving, afilu leido kodemis linisuin shari, even though the birth of the new brother comes before the single survivor does anything, we say that the new brother can do yibum. Hechi motzi lemisni, how can you say as a rule, Kol shaleido kodemis linisuin lo choletzis velo misyabemis? How can you say that as a rule, that whenever the birth of the new brother takes place, there is not going to be any yibum? The katoni klal omar Rabbi Shimon, and it was presented above as a klal. It's the rule of Rabbi Shimon, but it's not a hard and fast rule. Ha zimnin delo havi hochi. Sometimes it's not like that. just to repeat, if you look back at the source, a rule was presented that whenever the birth of the new brother takes place, there is no Yibum option. But that's not true. In the case of one surviving brother, the Yibum option does arise, if what Rav Hoshaya is saying is correct. So that is a problem. V'oid Mosiv Rav Hoshaya. And you have to note, and Tosis points this out, that this is not the same as the Botide name that opened this discussion. This is a different person. This is Rav Hoshaya, and the one that opened up our sugya was Rebbe Hoshaya. So don't confuse the names. So someone else whose name is Rav Hoshaya raises a question. Again, not to lose sight of the forest for the trees, we're dealing with how far does Reb Shimon go in Zika Kiknusa? And we're going to challenge Rebbe Oshaya's contention that Zika is Kiknusa from the following case. Shloisha Achim. Shnayim Hem Nisuin. There are three brothers. Two of them are married as follows. Shtei Achoyos. Oisho Bita, Oisho Basbita, Oisho Basbina. Hare Elu Chosos Velo Misyabmois. Rabbi Shimon Poter. If the, let us see, you have two brothers. You can see we have a little diagram that illustrates this. You have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven was married to Leah, and Shimon was married to Rachel. Those are two sisters. The Tanakhama says, well, when they die, so that Levi will, there's chalitza, but no yibum. So that if the, the brothers that were married to the relatives to the two sisters, when they die, and they fall to the third brother, so there is, as he says, chalitza, but no yibum. And Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon Pater's meaning even from Chalitza. The Rashi would like to look at Dibur Maslu Chotzos, a few lines up from here. Im Mesu Hanesuin Esakrovos V'noflu Flea Shlishi. If those that were married to the relatives, to the two sisters, they die and they come, they fall B'Yibum to the third brother. Hare Elu Chotzos. Thelomis Yabnos, no Yibum, Hoyel Utravayu Zakikon Le, since both Leah and Rachel are connected in Yibum terms to Levi, he can't take either one. Kopoga Bekroiva Zukoso, either one he were to take would be she is the sister of the other one who's also connected to him, and one cannot marry two sisters. So that either one he would take, it's as if he's taking someone who is the sister of someone that's already connected to him. The source tells us that Rabbi Shimon exempts, poter, means no, not even chalitza. Ve'yi salka daitoch kosova Rabbi Shimon ziko kiknusa damyo. If it were so, that Rabbi Shimon holds, that ziko is as if she's fully married, so if we look at that chart, when Reuven died, a bond was formed. That's why that's called number two. A bond was formed between that almona and Levi. So she would be considered fully married. If, as Rebbe Hoshaya explained, that Zika is Knusa, she's fully married. Liyabein lekomaisa v'tiftaridoch. According to the Tana Rebbe Shimon, if you accept Rebbe Oshaya's original explanation, then the brother Levi should be able to marry Leah, the widow of Reuven, the woman who fell first Leibum, and the other one is free to go without anything based on the fact that she is an Erefa. She's a sister of one's wife. Omar Rav Amram. Rav Amram answers, you know, you're right. My poter, Nami, when Rabbi Shimon in this Tanakh source says poter, Bishnia. It means the woman to have fallen Leibum in the second position. Question. V'atanya Rabbi Shimon Poter b'shtehen. he exempts both of them. That would indicate that the first one also is exempted. And that reinstates the problem. If Zikos Kiknusa, he wouldn't exempt both. Omar Rava. Shnia Shibizugze Vishnia Shibizugze. Rava, what Rava is saying is kind of like we said before, that Shnia is a reference to the second woman to have fallen Bibum, but now the expression Bishtehen, it's more inclusive. In order to appreciate Rava's answer, let us take a look at a diagram that we have. On the lower, you notice we have a diagram. Yes, on the lower part, notice the footnote reference. You have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven is married to four wives. Shimon is married to four wives. Who are these women? So Reuven is married to Leah, and Shimon is married to Rachel. Well, they're two sisters. Reuven also is married to a woman, Yocheved, and Shimon is married to her daughter, to Miriam. Reuven is married to a woman, and Shimon is married to that woman's granddaughter, Bas Bita. Reuven is married to another woman, a fourth woman, and Shimon is married to her granddaughter through her son, Bas Bina. What Rava is saying is as follows. As far as the Tana Rabbi Shimon is concerned, when Reuven dies, Levi will do Yibum with one of Reuven's widows, and of course that's standard procedure. You do Yibum only with one of a man's multiple wives. So he does Yibum with one of them, and he will, and the, as far as the wives of Shimon, all of them are exempt. So that you have the second, in these pairs of women, the second one in each pair is exempt. Shnia Shebezugze, Vishnia Shebezugze. For example, let us just say Levi does Yibum with Leah. What does Levi do with regard to Shimon's widows? And now, again, Levi will do Yibum with Reuven's, with one of Reuven's widows, because Zika Kiknusa. He has a right to marry one of them. The fact that Shimon eventually dies also, Levi's already married to one of them through Zika Kiknusa. And if you want to apply that to Leah, so Rachel is off bounds, simply because she's an erva. She is Levi's new wife, Leah, Levi's wife, namely Leah. Rachel is her sister. That's called Achos Isha. All of the other widows of Shimon are at Sora of that erev. They're co-wives of a woman that's strictly forbidden. So Rava's explanation of Rabbi Shimon Poter Bishnan, we are able to reinstate Rabbi Shaya's understanding that really Zika Kiknusa, when Reuven died, one of the widows of Reuven is considered bound to Levi. And as far as Shimon's widows are concerned, they're usher. And each one of those women is the second woman in a pair of wives, and a pair of women as we present it in the original source. The Gemara challenges this, does not like Rava's answer. Kotoi Rava ba'arbo zugi. Rava is making a mistake with regard to the source that we had above, where we had Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and Dal, the source that began with the words Gimel Achen. Rava is misunderstanding that source. How did Rava understand that source? So let's go back over the Tanaic source, where it's in Mosef Rav Hoshaya, on the fourth wide line of the Gemara, Gimel Achen Shneimen Mesuin. There were three brothers, two of them were married, and then a number of ladies were mentioned, Shtei Achoyas, Ishabita, etc. and so forth. Rava understood that source as the two brothers, each one had four wives, as we saw on the chart. And that chart reflected the ladies referred to in that source. But that's not the pshat, that's not the case. Chada, one point is the oi oi katani. In the example featured in that source, it said that you had the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, were married to either two sisters, or to a mother and her daughter, or to a mother and her granddaughter. That's oi oi katani. These cases, the examples were broken up. The oid, furthermore, if Rava's pshat were correct, the language is not accurate. Instead of Rabbi Shimon Poter B'Shtayim, Rabbi Shimon Poter Bar Ba'asan Mi Boyai, the language should have been that Rabbi Shimon exempts all four women, not two. The Oid Tanya, and furthermore, we have the following teaching. Rabbi Shimon Poter B'Shtayim, Min HaChalitza U'min HaYibum, Shnema V'Isha L'Choysa L'Sikach L'Tzror. Both women are exempt from chalitza and yibum, as the pasuk says, a person shall not take a woman and her sister. B'shal shenasu tzoro zulazu, when two sisters would become like co-wives. That's a case of that we had just before. Reuven and Shimon were each one married to a sister. They die, leaving a brother, Levi. Lo yehe l'chol l'kuchen afilu ba'achas mehen. You cannot take b'yibum either one of them. They're both potter. So we're emphasizing Levi, in the case of the death of Reuven and Shimon, Levi cannot marry either one of them. Not like Rava was suggesting, that he marries one because of Zika Kiknus and the other one is exempted. So, as a result of all of this, you can see that we're not accepting the analysis of Zika Kikanusa. That's a problem for Rabbi Oshaya. Elo Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi comes to Rav Oshaya's defense. E denofel boze acharze hochi nami. If, in the case of the three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven dies, and then Shimon dies, we would say that the widow of Reuven is considered Knusa to Levi. We would say Zika Knusa. Hocha v'may askinon, the source we just read with Rabbi Shimon pattering both, the Nofel b'bas achas, the two sisters fell to Yibum, to Levi, instantaneously, at one moment, so that I don't have the chance of saying the first one is considered married, thereby excluding the second one from marriage, from Yibum. But rather, they both fell at once. Rabbi Shimon Sofer Lo K'Rabbi Yossi Aglili D'Omar Efshir L'Tzamtzin. And Rabbi Shimon holds, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili stated his position in an unrelated topic of two firstborn animals being both considered Bechor, both having emerged from the animal's womb at the same moment. This idea of same instant is an idea in Hebrew called Efshel Litzamsin, that you can be exact in timing, so that if you take a case of Reuven and Shimon and Levi, Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters, and they die instantly, so they become both, so to speak, bound to Levi. Well, Levi can't do anything because each one is considered an Achos Ishto, in a sense. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon would say, Poter B'Shtayim, both are exempt. However, if in the case of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven dies first, so then Reuven's widow she can't be married by Shimon, obviously, because Shimon is married to her sister. So upon Reuven's death, Shimon is still alive, Levi becomes bound, Zika Keknusa, is completely bound to Reuven's widow. And when Shimon dies, so he leaves the sister of Reuven's widow, Levi needs to do nothing. So with this explanation, we foiled the attempt to question Rabbi Yoshaya from the source of Gimel Achin, and from the case of Rabbi Shimon Poter B'Shtehen, by explaining that this din of Rabbi Shimon Poter B'Shtehen is a case where both forbidden women, or say both women, fell Tivum at the same time. We can see Rashi explains, Rashi Dibur Masl, E Denufel Bezu Acharzu, Hachinami, the Zika Kiknusadami. We're looking at Rashi in the wide lines of the fifth, sixth wide line under the Gemara. If they fell to even one after the other, the Zika Kiknusadami, we would say then, like Rabbi Yoshai said at the beginning, the bond is considered fully married. But Kamaisa Denufla, the first of the two sisters that fell to Yibum, is Yabemes. She will do Yibum Afilu Li Achar Nefilas Shnia, even after the second sister becomes a widow, even though the first sister had not yet been misyabemes, Yibum can still be done because she's considered fully married at the point that she fell to Yibum. Now, as we indicated before, we're in the middle of this discussion. We completed the presentation of Shitas Rebbe Yoshaya as understanding Rebbe Shimon the Tana holding Zika Kiknusa, and as a result of that, in the cases of Eishes Ochav Shelo Haya Balamo, it didn't really matter whether it was a case of Nolad, it was a case of Yibem Ulebesof Nolad, which is certainly going to be allowed, but even in a case of Nolad Ulebesof Yibem, when Levi was born, true, Shimon had not done Yibum with the widow of Reuven, but nevertheless, Shimon was considered through Zika Kiknusa as if fully married to her. And therefore, when Levi was born, he was born seeing her as the wife of Shimon, a brother that he did coexist with. Hence, he would be allowed, eventually with Shimon's death, Levi could do Yibum with her. Rav Papa, as we mentioned earlier, disagrees with Rabbi Shai's approach, and Mirz Hashem, in our next year, we'll try to pick up with this point. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.